The most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dano's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
You know, Omar Kelly stole some of my thunder and is downplaying some of my picks here. But I am going to give you my top three pleasant surprises in Dolphins training camp so far. We're a little over 2 weeks into this sumbitch now. I've had a good time out there at training camp. I mean, in the last couple of days, it has been, well, yesterday especially, it's like a circus out there of media with Jay Cutler. I love how you've got all these Johnny-come-latelys. When Jay Cutler shows up, all of a sudden you've got people from media outlets you've never heard of, people you've never seen before. They all want to jump on the bandwagon. Show some respect for me, for Omar Kelly, for James Walker of ESPN, Chris Perkins, Barry Jackson, Adam Beasley, Jason Leisure, Joe Shad, those who are out there every single day covering Dolphins training camp instead of these hangers-on who show up as soon as they sign Jay Cutler. How about you show up every day, you losers? But my top three pleasant surprises so far. I'll go from number three up to number one. I only avoid ranking this one higher because it's not as big of a surprise, because I think we all expected some good things from Raekwon McMillan. But I go with Raekwon McMillan at number three because I give him credit for living up to a lot of that hype, right? Like, it's difficult. You're a second-round pick at a position of need, linebacker. You needed a starter to plug and play right away. It's a lot of pressure, and I know you've still got plenty of time left, four preseason games to come and all of that, but all that I've seen so far from Raekwon McMillan is somebody who is conducting himself like a professional both off and on the field, right? Making some plays on the field, and, you know, again, you're not having a whole lot of tackling and contact out there, but Raekwon McMillan, he's in position, he's making plays, and from what his coaches and teammates have to say about the guy, he's diligent in meetings, showing up to everything on time, he's taking notes, he's asking questions, he's picking the brains of Kiko Alonso, of Lawrence Timmons, he was picking the brain of Zach Thomas out of practice yesterday. Had big expectations, I did, coming into the season for Raekwon McMillan. Very sure tackler, over 100 tackles each of the last 2 years at Ohio State. I had big expectations for this guy, and so far, so good for Raekwon McMillan. And it's one of the reasons why I'm going to be watching him, you know, really closely tomorrow night for as long as he does play. He'll probably play a few more series than some of the veterans because I think the rookies need the work a little bit more. But, yeah, Raekwon McMillan had to go on that list for me. Yeah, at number two, I go with another defensive player, Davin Godshaw. Now, there are a couple of different ways to look at where Godshaw has been over the past few days, where he's taken these starting reps over Jordan Phillips. I think he is definitely earning some consideration to be a starting defensive tackle, and he's been impressing his coaches. He's been working his ass off. I've seen some good stuff from Vincent Taylor as well. Vincent Taylor, who was taken in the sixth round, Godshaw of LSU was taken in the fifth round. I've seen some good stuff in practice from both of those guys. But, you know, at least Davin is kind of pushing Jordan Phillips to the point where the coaches are giving him a lot of looks with the first team. Now, we do kind of speculate that a lot of that could be motivation for Phillips, right? That Jordan Phillips is the type of player where you have to threaten his job in order to bring out the best in him, which I already see as a bad sign, right? If the only way to motivate a player who is already making millions of dollars is to threaten his starting job, you should be able to find more of that motivation from within. But even if, you know, once the regular season comes around, even if Jordan Phillips is your day one starter next to Ndamukong Suh and it's not Davin Godshaw, I've seen enough good stuff out of that young man to know that he really is pushing, he really is working hard, and he really is pushing Jordan Phillips to the brink in these practices, and I like it. And then my number one, a little bit controversial because, admittedly, first week, yeah, not so good. First week of training camp, drop punts, drop passes, looking like a liability the way he was a year ago. First week of training camp, okay, you didn't see a whole lot of good from Jakeem Grant. Second-year guy, fifth-round pick last year out of Texas Tech. Or was he a sixth-round pick out of Texas Tech last year? You didn't see a whole lot in the first week of training camp, but Jakeem Grant has had a couple of very good days in practice this week. And I'm hoping and praying that that kid is turning a corner, because the two deep balls that he caught in practice on Tuesday, probably the highlights of that practice and two of the highlights of training camp so far. Maybe he's going to benefit from Jay Cutler's arrival. Maybe Jakeem Grant can build some chemistry and confidence with Jay Cutler that he was never able to build last year with Ryan Tannehill. Because certain quarterbacks just have a connection with certain receivers, right? Whereas, you know, Tannehill really started to build a connection with Kenny Stills last year. Maybe Jay Cutler starts to build a strange, odd chemistry with Jakeem Grant, who is running better routes. He's also getting more reps on the outside rather than the slot. I think that's benefited him. Adam Gase talked about that yesterday. And, yeah, we've seen him this week so far in practice actually holding on to footballs and making big catches. I'm hoping that's the start of something great and not just a flash in the pan because, yeah, Jakeem Grant has had some poor practices so far in this training camp, but he's also had a couple of the best practices I've seen him have as a Miami Dolphin, period. So that was a big surprise for me this week, seeing the way that Jakeem Grant is stepping up. I like it, and I want to see more of it. So that's my number one pleasant surprise so far. Jakeem Grant at one, Davin Godshaw at two, and Raekwon McMillan at number three. And the only reason why McMillan isn't higher is because you already had high expectations for him coming in, but to see him living up to that and even exceeding it has been a nice thing and a pleasant surprise for me so far. So a quote that's been going around the sports sites and the sports blogs today, UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen, who apparently is not a fan of the whole idea of the student-athlete, thinks it's a myth. UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen, this from thebiglead.com, is the sort of football player who has interests outside of football, is capable of generating and expressing original ideas, and doesn't seem afraid to do so. You can say that again. Which is to say, Josh Rosen makes NFL scouts extremely nervous, even though they consider him to be extremely talented. A particular gripe of Rosen is this whole quote-unquote student-athlete deal, which irks Rosen not so much because players aren't getting paid, but because playing football and matriculating through college are goals in conflict with one another. So here's a quote from Rosen. He had said, "How would Alabama's football team look if they raised the SAT standards?" What do you think the SAT standard is for the Alabama Crimson Tide? Like, if you write your name on the SAT, you're in. You're a starter immediately. 400? Is that what you get for writing your name, 400? Back in my day, it was a 200. I think they've changed the standards on that. So if you get a 400 on your SATs and you could play football, you're a starter for Nick Saban. So Josh Rosen takes a shot at the Crimson Tide. But, you know, the way that I look at this whole student-athlete thing, I don't think they have to be mutually exclusive. I just think a lot of college players, they lack the motivation. They lack reasons to care about the way they do with their studies. You get a 600 just for writing your name, Solana just told me. So if you get a 600 on your SAT, if you spell your name correctly, you can be an Alabama Crimson Tide player. But, I mean, tell me if I'm right on this, that I've seen enough good players in college football perform well in school. I don't think that playing college football and getting decent grades, I don't think those two things are mutually exclusive. I just think a lot of great players don't care, right? Because you get babied through college. If you're an NFL prospect, you've got academic advisors and you've got administrators bowing down to you. And if you are a good college player, all you care about for a lot of these guys, not for everybody, but for a lot of these college players, all you care about is keeping that C average so you're allowed to play football. And you pick the easiest classes possible, underwater basket weaving, interpretive dance, drama 101. All you do is the bare minimum to get that C average. But when I think about guys over the years like Jonathan Vilma, Kenny Dorsey, Joaquin Gonzalez, Braxton Berrios, who's only gotten one B-plus in his entire life, I understand that being a full-time student-athlete and a full-time student, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of time for these guys, but you've seen enough players over the years get decent grades when they actually apply themselves. I think the reason why you see so many football players around the country in big schools, from Bama to Florida to Georgia to wherever, why you see so many guys struggle through their classes, you know, where you had like academic fraud at North Carolina just to keep their players on the field, a lot of these guys don't care. all these guys care about, because they've been babied through high school and babied through college for a lot of these great players, all that they care about is doing the bare minimum in study hall to get that C average. I've seen enough players who do care and get the grades to think it's not impossible. So yeah, for Josh Rosen to say it's just too much work to be a student athlete and a full-time collegiate athlete at the same time, I think it just, it depends on where their priorities are. That's the thing for me. Get in via the plumbers911.com text line at 56022, but please don't text and drive. We're via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Yeah, I've been really annoyed these last couple of days. We had that story last night about the New England Patriots becoming the first NFL team to buy their own planes, right? Instead of paying the leases and the charters to American Airlines or Delta, they've just decided to cut out the middleman and buy their own plane. And ever since then, people are listening back to the podcast, and it's Rafa in Miami, this instigator. He's tweeting out pictures of, oh, the Heat have a plane, the Dolphins have a plane. And everyone keeps retweeting it. Dono, you're a piece of garbage for giving the New England Patriots credit for being the first team to have a plane. All these other teams have planes. No, they're leasing the damn planes. They're chartering the damn planes. Patriots have become the first NFL team to actually own two 767s. They've cut out the middleman. I hope the Miami Dolphins are next. I hope the Miami Dolphins are the next NFL team, rather than paying these ridiculous carrier costs. Mr. Ross, if you're listening, and if you want to buy me, if you get like a buy two, get a third free deal, I will take that extra plane. But if you want to buy a couple of planes for your team, I will not be opposed to that. 8 o'clock hour, the Alex Dono Show coming up next here on WQAM.